Hi, and welcome to Only the Avatar.
An Avatar The Last Airbender rewatch podcast. I'm Veda.
And I'm Christina, and you're listening to Season 3, Episode 17, The Ember Island Players.
Woo! Hello! I know we took a week off, kind of, but Christina was moving.
I was very busy. Yeah, I was moving into my new house. Woo!
And then I was like, you know, busy during Labor Day, and it was hard to find time to record, but I'm happy that we're back in action.
Yeah, thanks for sticking through with us, and yes. I can't believe, like, we're almost done with the series.
I know, it's crazy. Like, it's making me so emotional that they're just, like, our characters are grown up.
I know, and this is a great episode because it was, like, a recap before the series finale of just, it was kind of meta of, like,
yes.
Everyone, like, poking fun at the entire series and the characters seeing versions of themselves that they don't want to relate to. It was very interesting.
It was so good. I know people have, like, issues, but they have hot takes on this episode, or a lot of people are like, I don't really like it, or people either love it or hate it. That's how I feel about Ember Island Players.
Yeah, that, like, makes sense. But, like, sometimes you need an episode like this. Like, every show has an episode, yes, like this, where it's just, like, recapping what has happened in the past. Typically, it's to give, like, the writers a break, or...
And it's also, like, we're coming to a close, and I think the writers just wanted to remind everyone, like, look at the shit that we've been through.
Yeah. Previously on Avatar as an entire episode, basically.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But it was really fun. But anyway, how was your week? How was your Labor Day?
It was good. I mean, I feel like everything I've been doing has been just surrounding, moving. It's crazy. Like, I never want to see wallpaper again in my life. I took down so much wallpaper.
Are you a champ at peeling it? Do you think you could do, like, the Guinness Book of World Records for longest strip of wallpaper peeled in one go?
Maybe. Honestly, the people who did this house, though, they did a really good job wallpapering the house. Moving's been crazy, but it's been really good. It's just nice to, like, have more space and yeah, but it's definitely different. A lot of stuff to get used to.
Yeah.
It's really exciting. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. I went to the beach. I went to this place called Island Beach State Park in Jersey, like, around Seaside Heights. Have you ever been there?
No.
It's a little peninsula, and then one side you have the bay and one side you have the ocean, and it's just, like, the last stretch of undeveloped beach in Jersey. So you kind of see how things looked, like, 150 years ago, and, like, all the plants and stuff, and it's not that crowded. So it was really nice. I was there for the whole day, but I got these huge mosquito bites. Christina, it's disgusting.
Same. I feel you.
And they inflame sometimes at night. Like, I couldn't sleep for 2 nights. Like, or I woke up because they're gone down now, but they were so swollen that they hurt and got so itchy. So I would wake up in the middle of the night to scratch.
Why don't you just take Benadryl?
I had to take one.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I put, like, steroid cream on it because it was just, like, it was not good.
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm, like, covered in mosquito bites. I have a mosquito bite on my chin. It's so awkward.
Oh, my God. That's...
So it stinks. So I took a Benadryl last night too, just because I was so itchy.
It's horrible when that happens.
That's a good thing about, like, you know, it's going to be the fall. So less mosquitoes, a little colder weather.
I'm really excited. And then I've been reading a bunch. I started this book called Liberalism, which was really interesting. And then I read a few articles, and I'm reading a book called A Girl is a Half-Formed Thing, which is pretty interesting. So I feel like I was reading a lot this weekend.
Oh,
and then
nice.
I also went out a lot. And yeah, I'm just, like, old and I can't handle it anymore. So
yeah, that makes sense. I'm like, last week I drank a lot just because, like, I don't know. I mowed the lawn for the first time.
Oh, my God!
I was like, wow, I'm such a house owner. And I, like, did all this yard work. And then I was like, I get why people need a beer after they mow the lawn. It was just so hot and I was sweating. I was like, yeah, I need a beer. And we're doing all this work around the house. I'm like, yeah, I need a beer after.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot of work, and you're outside. I mean, you're going to get, like, buff now.
Yeah.
Is it what it's like? Buff. Is it an old one that you pull the string? Or is
I had to pull
one?
The string. It's so hard to pull the string. I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like,
it's a workout.
I looked like an idiot in front of my neighbors, but it was fine. It was fine.
It's a workout. It's a workout. Should we jump into the episode?
Yeah, let's do it. Oh my God, I'm so sad. It's like, the end.
I know.
But the gang is on Ember Island, the old home of the Fire Lord, or the current old home of the Fire Lord and the Fire Lord's family, though no one is around, so no one will suspect that the gang is there. But while, you know, Zuko and Aang are practicing their firebending, Sokka comes in and discovers that there's a theater group in town called the Ember Island Players, and they actually created a show or a play depicting the adventures of the Avatar.
I know. This is pretty fun because, like, both of us are theater people. So yes. I definitely enjoyed the excitement about going to see a play. There's some argument whether or not they should go see it, but they're like, okay, whatever, let's go see it. It'll be a fun night at the theater.
I love especially that Sokka's like, this is the useless nonsense I've been missing. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like this episode.
I was laughing about that too. And Sokka hates time wasting, but this time, you know, he's like, I actually miss it.
Yeah.
But watching the Fire Nation Theater Group's performance is a very awkward experience for the gang. They see different versions of the truth, complete fiction, and interpretations of their characters as a mirror to them. It's very hard for them to watch, as it is for anyone to watch anything based off of them that they haven't written. Mm-hmm. And the writers, it's very meta, as we mentioned earlier in the episode. They use this play to recap the events of the past three seasons, but also to poke fun at some of the fan theories, poke fun at some of the ideas about the fans. And it's like there's some mentions of cosplay and things like that. So it really it takes on a way of conversing with the people watching, and our heroes are actually the audience. So I love how they were able to do that.
Yeah, and, you know, by the end of the play, Sokka's like, oh, it's time to go. We're all caught up. But the play actually took a different turn, and they rewrote kind of like the ending of what would happen. And it led to, you know, Azula killing Zuko, and then the Fire Lord killing the Avatar at the end of the play. And everyone around them was just cheering, and they were so happy with that ending. But you see the gang a little defeated because they were like, that is not the ending that we want to see.
I know.
And throughout the entire play, the events of like what is happening and the depiction of Aang and Katara together really upsets Aang. And it causes Aang to actually confess his love for Katara, who is not ready to commit because, you know, there's this whole war thing going on.
So they leave the theater kind of dejected for a variety of reasons. They definitely didn't enjoy the show. It was not a fun night at the theater. But Sokka does make a good point at the end when he says, like, wow, but some of the special effects were really cool. I was like, the staging in this play
Well, you
is
know
great.
What that line is. You know what the creator said that line was meant to poke fun at?
What?
The movie version of Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh.
You're like, oh, that God. Was bad, but the effects were good.
Actually, that's so true because I feel like it was how probably fans felt while watching the movie.
Yeah, I mean.
Completely.
I like this episode because it was meta and you're like, you yeah. know, it's, one, it's serving as like a recap episode of everything going on, but it gives like the character's perspective on like how other people view them and is their depiction accurate? Is it inaccurate? Like, I really like that they like kind of grappled with that. And one part I really liked was Zuko being like, man, I was horrible. Like, he hated watching that play because it reminded him of all the mistakes he'd made mm-hmm. and all the things that he's done to betray his uncle. And you could tell he was just like so
upset.
It was
hard for him to watch. Yeah. I love when they introduce the characters and you see the gang react to it. Like,
yes.
You know, when we see the Peter Pan reference of Aang being having to be played by a young woman or a girl,
yeah.
right? Like, because they have to be very light and have to be flown around. That was really funny. But it was great when Zuko is played actually to a T.
Yeah. But and then I liked going back to Aang's character, not only is it like a Peter Pan thing where it's a woman being played by Aang, it's also like kind of jabbing at the fact that the creators really wanted a young boy to actually mm-hmm. do the voice of Aang throughout the entire series. But it's really common for boys or like children that are male to be played by women, actually voiced
yeah,
by women
because their voices don't change
and the woman could like do the voice pretty well, so it's kind of like tagging onto that as well why it was played by a woman.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, I know some guys singers, and for all of them puberty was so rough because their voice, the way that they sang changed. And, you know, I always think about Justin Bieber sometimes too when I like listen to some of his yes. really old stuff like Baby. And he completely has a different voice, obviously. Or like but
Chris Brown. Chris Brown yeah. uses like – I'm like, is it Chris Brown or is it Keisha Cole? Like they sound yeah. – I remember Keisha Cole was big when Chris Brown was young and they have like very similar voices. It's so funny.
You're like, oh, wow, you really – figured out how to sound in your new voice. Like, I think that's kind of cool. So I love that. But I think the worst casting in the play, hands down, were Sokka and Katara. Like, Katara as this, like, older woman.
Who was, like, wearing busty. She was, like, wearing, like, sexy clothing in a sense.
Yeah.
But I liked Sokka's character actor because he, the beginning when he's just like, where's the meat? Like, that was the most common thing. That's like, that was his get, like, the thing that he talked about the most in like the first like five episodes. And they brought that back. I forgot. It's like, I forgot.
It is accurate. And the first, it is accurate to how the characters were portrayed right at the beginning. And I love when Sokka goes backstage.
Yes. And I think it's kind of like a jab at like, oh, all the character, all the fans want to give like notes to the creators and like notes to the writers. Like, oh, you should do this. You should do that. It's like he's doing – Sokka's doing that for himself, which mm-hmm. I thought was really funny. And I think like Sokka hated the play. But then once the actor was started taking his notes about like the joke about the Rock as a rocky mm-hmm. relationship, he's like loving the play. So.
He was like, wow, my notes are being taken. But there's that element of cosplay too, right? Because we see that little kid who runs past Zuko and yes. is like, oh, great Zuko costume, but your scar is on the wrong side.
Yeah, but in the play, they did the scar on the wrong side. So yeah, there were a lot of things in the play that was very not accurate. Like the whole Zutara thing of course. Katara being like, oh, I like you, Zuko. I was like, oh my god, I can't believe they put that in the actual like play.
I mean, every story needs a romance, so they probably were like, this makes sense. But okay, my question about this is that the Ember Island players wrote this play for a Fire Nation audience. So wouldn't they have told it from the perspective why did they do it through this perspective? Because I was so confused because they're still presenting Aang as the hero because he's discovered right at the start.
And the ending was so weird because like the Fire Lord was acting like a villain throughout the entire play, even too, like the very end where he's like, the world is mine, and everyone's just
cheering, obviously, because they want the Fire Nation to win. So I'm like, this is presented in a weird way. Yeah. I was actually confused about the rest of the audience's interactions because then I was like, are they supposed to be are Sokka and Katara so grotesque in this play because it's like making fun of those tribes?
I think so. Or it's just, you know, you're not meant to really see these people as real people, you know? They're supposed to be characters, so you don't care if they die at the end. But, like, you're right. Like, why wasn't it through the perspective of maybe, like, Azula or the Fire Lord, where they're like, we're going to catch the Avatar, the bad guy, you know what I mean? It goes with the fact that it is a bad play, though. Because, like, that's bad.
It is. Yeah, I was like, this is so awkward.
I know, yeah. Overall, like, I mean, it's on point, though, being like, oh, this is a bad play.
It is a bad play. It's also very long. They have two intermissions. I'm like, is this basically an opera? Like, they have two intermissions in this play.
Well, it makes sense because, like, they were like, oh, there's three parts, right?
Yeah.
The three seasons. I like how they just kind of skipped over season three. Like, oh, because, like, we had the whole, like, Aang and Katara talk where, like, Aang is, like, you know, confessing his love to Katara, and they're like, what did we miss? You're like, oh, Combustion Man, blah, 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 blah. It's like, oh, we know this stuff because we just watched it.
We just saw it. That makes sense. Yeah, it totally makes sense. I was also, you know, there's definitely a conversation in here about like adaptations and also like if real life things are fictionalized and how mm-hmm. things are presented. There was this big argument online recently about like, if, you know, someone gains inspiration from a story and characters are based off of another person, but once the author writes it, it's no longer about that person. So all our characters, you know, but people are like, it was still based off of my life, you know, but all of our characters, that's not them, right? Who they're seeing on the stage, even though their names are Zuko, Katara, you know, like it's not mm-hmm. them. But for them, it's so unnerving to see because they're like, I'm not actually like that. And this thinks I'm telling my story.
Yeah, or even like the part where Katara tries to find Aang, and Aang's like, "Did you mean it when you said that?"
And she's like, "I didn't say that.
I didn't say that. That was an actor. Like, that's not how I feel."
but that really got to him, right? Because it's like, is this play getting to a true essence of our characters? Because sometimes they are. Like, Toph, the way that they present her as this burly, strong man, it is Toph sometimes.
Yeah, and I love that Toph is the only one that, like, loved the way her character was depicted.
She loved the play, honestly.
She was having a great time. Yeah, no one liked the ending. But she was like, wow, this is a great depiction of me. And she wasn't in the first half because she didn't join the gang.
I was dying when she came out, though. I think that's one of the funniest things. Like,
I know.
One of those expectations reality memes.
Well, they were saying also that depiction of Toph is what they originally were going to have as Toph. So originally it was supposed to be like this big buff, like earthbender that was going to teach Aang how to be – to earthbend, and then they decided to go with Toph instead. But that was like the original like look of who was supposed to teach Aang. So I think that's kind of funny. I like that they brought in like all these like old things that they could have maybe used before, or the commentary on like previous episodes, like when they get to the Great Divide and they're like, look, it's a Great Divide, and Sokka's just like, let's just go over that, because like no one liked that episode. Or even when they had the drill episode, like the part of the play where they're talking about the drill and you see people in the audience like yawning and falling asleep because the fans thought it was boring. I like that they put those little jabs in, and I like that they put in like Zutara too, like, because that is a big fan theory that everyone was talking about. So I like how they're like giving kind of like the fans what they want, in a sense, in a parody. So
I that's why it's so smart. It's like, hey, we're actually reading what you're saying, and like, this is definitely a version of the play that, I mean, a version of the show that could be happening as the play. So I thought that was really, really funny, well thought out. I saw on Instagram, one of the like Avatar social media accounts was like posting on popular fan theories, and there were some theories in there like, oh, I actually hate Aang and Katara together. And then someone else said that like Iroh is really boring. And then like people were giving all of their hot takes. And I was like, I wonder if they would ever do like if they wouldn't do it, but what would an Ember Islands version now with unpopular fan theories look like? So when I was looking at what people commented, I was like, oh, this would be really funny done as a play with like depicting Iroh as like, kind of, you know, totally checked out, not a great leader, you know, like Aang being too young and like just being a baby and having his first crush on Katara, who's like older than him at that age, you know.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I can't believe someone thinks Iroh's boring.
I wish I saved some of those that she had posted. They were pretty interesting in there. I was like, but I don't know. I don't think the drill was a boring episode, but I love how they showed like the stagehands wearing all black and doing the drilling. And
yeah,
I love the fight scene at the end with like the suspension things and like Aang flying in the air. And then also like the blue and red fire, you know, that when we saw like Katara.
Or even like the Fire Lord's like makeup and things like that. It reminded me of like old school, like Japanese like plays and stuff. Yeah. But I thought it was like a fun episode. There are a lot of like funny takes that like they're considering from like what the fans have been saying and stuff like that. I know I kind of mentioned it before about Zuko being really upset with his depiction in the play because it felt very accurate to him. What did you think about like Toph's advice?
I thought it was really sweet. And I think my secret favorite pairing is Zuko and Toph.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I wish I got to see more time with them together, because I think that they do have a type of chemistry that we don't ever really get to explore in the show. But it's true. Like, Toph did have that one-on-one time with Iroh where Iroh did help her, you know, see herself differently. So she understands almost that connection or that importance Iroh played in Zuko's life and the way that they communicated. So I'm glad that he had her to talk him down, you know, and it also shows how much Zuko's really grown and he's able to see like, oh, I'm so ashamed. And even when Katara turns to him during the play and was like, did you actually say that to Iroh when you were like, I hate you, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I basically did. They got the essence of what happened.
Yeah, they got to the essence. It was nice to see Zuko and Toph together, because we didn't get that like field trip with just the two of them. And I felt like, oh, they had this conversation because we never got that field trip of the two of them.
Completely. Yeah. And I also love the reference to, you know, our cabbage cellar, because yes. that's where he was the witness that helped the playwrights put this play together, because he actually was everywhere.
Oh, is that how they knew everything? Because I was like watching the episode. I didn't catch that, but I knew that. I'm like, how does this guy know everything? Did he follow them around? Like, what is going on? So I guess it's
their source. Was the cabbage merchant, which is just very, very funny.
And we haven't seen him in a while, too, but it's nice that we're still referencing.
I know. That iconic character.
Yeah.
Comes through.
Iconic. And we even see him in Legend of Korra, too.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. We see a statue of him.
Like, wow, the fans have such a – I love that there's a reaction between the fans and the creators. And mm-hmm. that's something you really do – like in a TV show, or, you know, building up a fandom, they kind of understood that that's, you know, important. Keeping that. And because the fans are the one who are keeping this alive.
Yeah. I mean, can you believe that we're still like we're creating a podcast about this show? It came out.
Yeah.
Like more than a decade ago, you know what I mean? And it's like, we still love it. The fans still love it. And that's why they're able to create more content, they're going to create more shows and things like that. So it is exciting to see that like the fans really are still alive and like loving everything Avatar The Last Airbender, which is cool.
You know, this is a very simple episode, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
I mean, it's a recap of everything.
Yeah, our goals are recap everything, keep the fans up to date, do the build up. But we do have a little shreds of conflict, which I think is cool. Like we get to know the depth of Aang's feelings, and we also get to see like Katara being, which I thought was interesting, when she's like, we're in a war, it's not the time for this, but like, isn't the time for love, honestly, during a period of war and depression and problems? Yeah,
you might never get a chance to grow
to do this.
To say that you're in love. So I was is she just like letting him down easy? You know what I mean?
And also in the beginning, we see that Aang is just like, I don't want Zuko to sit there.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, is the Zutara thing like really growing and alive?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm happy that it's, you know, I'm a Katang fan. So
I am too. And I actually wasn't until I did this rewatch, because I think it's a very sweet thing. I think the issue with that is because they're young.
Yeah. Or just like even the age difference. Like if they were the same age, it might be different, but she's like the mom and he's like a kid, so like that's
like
a weird
what? How old is
tension.
She 14
14 and he's 12, 12 so even if he was 13 and she wasn't taking on that motherly like thing, you know what I mean, it might have been different.
They roasted her in the play though. I think she got it the worst.
I think she did too, because I think like the whole hope and whatever, I'm like, okay, like they're just like making fun of ladies being emotional.
I know, but she was like, I'm just crying all the time and talking about hope. And also like, oh my, it must have been cringe to watch her with Jet. And also the Jet zombie scene was really funny.
And I like how they even reference like, so did he die? And everyone's like, oh, we really don't know.
It's very unclear.
Yeah, but I was upset with their depiction of, you know, Jet flooding a village and then Katara being like, oh, you bad, bad boy, but like being happy about it and being into him. I'm like, because that's very opposite of how Katara felt during that actual episode.
So cringe. I bet she was like, Earth, swallow me up right now during that section, because that probably was so awkward to watch.
And also, you know, I felt bad for Sokka too when they showcased Yue becoming the moon spirit and him like crying, and Sokka and Suki being like, oh, I didn't know you're in love with the moon spirit. And he's like, shut up. And they kind of got into a little fight. That must have been so hard for him to relive that too.
Yeah, because he never recovered from that.
I don't think he has either. Yeah, he just uses comedic timing and things like
that. No, I think that really, really hurt him.
I mean, yeah, that was only like probably like 3 months ago.
Yeah, true, true, true.
Oh my gosh.
That
time flies.
It's hard. Time flies when you're fighting a war.
Yeah, a 100-year war.
I thought Azula was great.
I did too.
She, like, as a performer, the actor who played Azula in the play, I thought she did a great job.
She did. I liked Sokka's character, Sokka's actor in Azula.
So ugly, though.
He is. Oh, and did you notice in the actual like play, like poster, it's basically like the season one like poster for the DVD. I was like, oh my gosh, we really are just being so meta right now with everything.
It's so funny. It's so funny. And it's just like their own, I don't know. I think it's cool that they did this. Like what an interesting concept to be like, okay, we're going to answer a lot of questions and fan theories. Like they even, you know, there's that stupid discussion around like, is this an anime? You know, mm-hmm. like. Then they have, like, Zuko dressed up as, like, the Dragon Ball Z guy.
Oh, yeah. It was his weird hair the entire episode, too. I know. Too. Like, his long flowing hair in season two. It was like, oof.
It's really funny. Like, it's a good it was a good episode. I think it really preps us for this. I personally don't think that they should have gone. Like, not non-show related, but, like, if we were actually, you know, getting ready to fight a battle... I don't know if a night at the theater to really lower everyone's morale
I think,
was
yeah,
a good point.
I think they, if say like the battle wasn't so soon, if it was like a month away or like
yeah.
a couple months away, yeah, go to it because it could showcase like how the world views you and that could be maybe helpful strategically down the road. But it stinks moral wise or like. Team building wise.
Yeah. But. So it's like this, like their morale is so low from this. And then my only other real critique of the episode is that I wish that they had just shown that this is a Fire Nation play and a Fire Nation's retelling.
Well, did you know this? That the actual person that wrote the play was like from the Earth Kingdom, which is so random.
Really?
Yeah. But I guess like you wouldn't, if you were in the Fire Nation, you're not going to. If he was writing it for the Fire Nation, they're going to perceive it that, like, the Fire Nation
yeah,
wins at
I
the
feel
end.
Like they should have done it from, like, showing at the beginning, like, our king is, you know, is so great. And, like, mm-hmm. he's creating this wonderful world that's ruled by the Fire Nation. But then this, like, and everything was going well until these, like, meddling kids came in.
I
you
know
like,
yeah.
that should have been how the play was set up.
Yeah, or from, yeah, from the perspective, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or from the perspective of like Azula, but I mean, it makes sense in this episode.
Or also making Azula the hero and Zuko the anti-hero
yeah.
right from the get-go. Like, it just seemed odd that they would spend so much time focusing on it. And mm-hmm. then when I was watching the episode, even in my notes, I'm like, who is this audience rooting for?
Yeah, because they were rude. They were laughing at like the jokes and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was so confused.
That's why the turn at the end, it wasn't even like, because throughout the show where they talk about like, oh, the Fire Nation is like, they want to manifest and like bring their greatness to other nations or whatever that
it's
means.
It's like the end completely altered the tone of the show and yeah. it obviously felt tacked on. So I'm like, okay, it's propaganda, I guess. And then I'm like, how is the rest of the country feeling about this war?
Yeah, well, it seems like through the propaganda and everything, it seems like they want the war and they want obviously the Fire Nation to win, you know what I mean? But like they could have like done a like the very end of the play, like Fire Lord Ozai is a straight villain. He's not
yeah.
being like, I must save my country from this evil avatar. Just
yeah.
like and I will rule the world. And everyone's like, yay. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of weird.
Anyway, how do you rate the episode?
I think I'd give it like a 3.5 out of 5. Very average episode.
Interesting.
I get why they do it, but like they did it, but like it's not an episode I like want to rewatch because it is just so. It's a recap episode. I can't
yeah.
rate it that high. It's a recap episode.
Yeah.
So
that's true. I think I would also do a 3.5, I think. I think I enjoyed watching it today when I watched it. Like mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is pretty witty and funny, and like I like how they did it, and especially if they have to do an episode like this, I thought it was really creative. But again, my criticism is like really really bring home that a Fire Nation, it's this is a Fire Nation, a play for Fire Nation people. Like, you know, I thought there was a lot of funny elements to it, but yeah, it's not obviously a top tier episode.
Yeah, compared to the next episode, which is I guess it's technically a three-parter.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we don't know how we're going to break that up, but you'll find out next week.
We'll find out next week. Well, thanks for listening. Our journey is coming to a close, just like the gangs. And yeah, appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Talk to you next time. Bye.